Have you ever been one step away from throwing in the towel? You know that moment when everything feels like it's falling apart? Partners bail, setbacks stack up, and you're left wondering if this is all worth it. Today's guest, Alex Granois, has been there. And not only did he push through, but he turned those obstacles into stepping stones for success. So if you're looking for real talk on resilience, grit, and making smart moves when the chips are down, this is the episode for you. Stick around because we're about to dive into the mindset that turns struggle into success. Welcome to Mind Your Business, the podcast that goes straight to the core of what drives entrepreneurial success. I'm your host, Max Fortune, and with over 30 years of experience building businesses and guiding others to do the same, each week we explore the mindsets, strategies, and real-life stories that distinguish thriving entrepreneurs, delivering the candid insights you need to elevate your business and reach new heights. Today we have a special guest joining us. His name is Alex Granois, the CEO of Grand Slam Car Rentals. And from his early days in law enforcement to becoming a successful entrepreneur in multiple industries, Alex's journey is one of resilience, determination, and smart business moves. He's here to share his story, the lessons he's learned along the way, and some valuable insights you won't want to miss. But before we dive into our conversation with Alex, let's set the stage with our Mindset Minute. Now, this is where we take a moment to focus on a powerful nugget of wisdom designed to help you push through the challenges of the week. It's a quick mental reset to keep you sharp, motivated, and ready to tackle whatever comes your way. So let's get into it. For this week's Mindset Minute, I want to speak directly to some of you business owners who feel like everything is falling apart and are questioning whether you should keep going. It's in these moments when you feel like giving up that your breakthrough is often just around the corner. Success isn't a straight path. It's a journey full of twists and turns and lots of setbacks sometimes. But here's the truth. Every obstacle you face is shaping you, not stopping you. What doesn't break you only makes you stronger. Success doesn't come to those who quit. And I want you to remember, winners never quit and quitters never win. Now, with that mindset in place, let's dive into the journey of someone who truly embodies resilience. Alex Granois' story is a powerful example of what happens when you refuse to give up no matter how tough the road gets. So, Alex, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming out. Thanks for giving us a lot of time. I know that, I've been around here for a while and you're just like super, super busy. This guy is super busy, let me tell you. But you know what, Alex, I want you to take some time and kind of talking about your story and going into it. You faced numerous obstacles from struggling to get a business permit to losing partners. And I just kind of want you to go through what strategies did you use to overcome these challenges and how did these experiences shape your approach to business?
First and foremost, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure. As Max stated, my name's Alex Granois, owner of Grand Slam Exotics. And I have definitely had a lot of ups and downs and obstacles in running this car rental business that I now have here in Atlanta. It's really resilience. That's what keeps you in the game. So I just never gave up. I just kept going from the beginning. We ended up getting a location. It was four of us, and the other three guys bailed on me. And at the time, I didn't know what I was going to do. I only had four cars. So now I'm down. I only have four cars. I don't really have other cars to broker. So I prayed, and that same week, someone brought me 15 cars. Ooh. And I was able to manage with the vehicles that I had, and then just a lot of hard work, and more vehicles kept coming in.
Alex, you had a decade-long career as a police officer, and then you moved to this. So I want you to kind of go over how did the skills you developed in law enforcement translate into your entrepreneurial ventures?
Well, so being a police officer, you know, you got to have a lot of different skills. Got to know how to deal with people. So there's a customer service aspect to policing. There's also that aspect of dealing with confrontation when you're dealing with, like, someone who's irate. So transition to in business, you know, when I have tough decisions, I just try to take my time and handle it just as if I was on the street. When I've had to deal with, you know, a customer who's upset because we're repoing a vehicle, it's the same thing. You know, just keep calm, talk a certain way, use my verbal judo, and de-escalate a situation. We don't have a lot of those. I used to deal with a lot of those, a lot of growing pains. So, for example, if a customer is not paying for his vehicle, we shut the car off and go pick it up. Now, if I'm picking up a car at 11 o'clock at night and, you know, that customer, if he's out on a date or whatever the case is, it may be a little frustration there and embarrassment. Yeah. Now we don't go pick up cars at night. We just pick them up in the morning. So if there is a face-to-face, it's, you know, it's not late in the night. And so you know, structure, discipline, all of those things that I learned in the, you know, as a police officer, I now apply them to my daily routine and just how I, you know, conduct my business. So it you know, not just being a police officer, that is all my previous jobs. I do have a customer service background prior to policing. So I take a little bit of everything and I apply it to business now, because now it's all on me.
Right, right, right.
I can't, hey, you don't like what the service that I'm giving you? You know, let's bring my, I'll bring my supervisor on scene. You can talk to my supervisor. You know, I'm the supervisor. I'm the lieutenant. I'm the chief. So everything goes through me. So it's a little different, but everything that I've learned in all my previous jobs, 100% was like training to where I'm at now.
So it's always good that you can take skills that you pull from other things, other experiences that you have, and bring them into your own business. Again, you are all those things and have to be all those things in all those different departments and everything like that. The funny thing is your journey, you didn't start off kind of in this journey with thinking about the cars, but your journey into business kind of started with repairing your own credit, you know what I mean? And so I want you to kind of talk about how important credit is for aspiring business owners and how it played a role in your success.
So when I met my wife, and my wife's amazing, when I think about it, I just think of this perfect person, you know. So when we met, credit was right, great career. And I knew I wanted to marry her right away. And, you know, though I had a lot of things, you know, checked off my list, my credit was in shambles. You know, I already had, at that time, I had the mindset of I can just cash. Like, you know, everything will be done with cash. I even had purchased a home in cash. Wow. So credit was something I was like, F credit. I had all these student loans on my credit report. I just didn't care for credit. But then I started to think of, like, my future as a husband, as a, you know, I'm not going to rely on my wife for everything. So I worked really hard. I got my credit fixed. And I started getting 0% interest credit cards. And it was one credit card. I liquidated it, and I purchased a box truck. I was kind of like my first introduction to entrepreneurship. Ran that box truck for about, I'd say like a year. And, you know, in the background, I was helping a lot of people with credit because it excited me to be able to go from a 400, right, paying like a 15, 16% interest rate on a car loan to 700 credit score, paying a 3% interest rate. Right off the bat, my car note just cut in half, my insurance cut in half. So that's money back into my pocket. So I realized that having good credit is the way to go. And, you know, so I got this box truck now. I remember walking into the precinct, and it just was like, I could feed myself now. I don't need anybody else. It was just a feeling that I felt. It was like, you know, I don't have to rely on, you know, the man to get paid. I can go get paid myself. I had a lot of ups and downs and you know, that the trucking industry is not for the weak. Business is not for the weak, but I took some really good lessons in the trucking industry. And I got out and, you know, I sold my truck, made some extra little money. And then eventually I ended up getting my vehicle, getting my first vehicle, and started renting cars out.
Wow. And so I kind of just want to circle back to credit. And I think sometimes with business owners especially, a lot of times business owners just get in and just start operating their business. And like you said, it's just cash, spending cash here. And it's a while before you realize your buying power is lessened, or it's only at the limit of the cash you have at your disposal. So I definitely think credit is super, super important. It's one of the things I talk to a lot of clients about. I specifically, as business owners, I have a program that I kind of designed for business owners called GetBiz.Credit that actually helps them build credit like that, because it's important. It's super important to be able to it's a game changer. It's a game changer when you can actually expand and do a lot more things with the income you have, or just the buying power that you can get. Loans, larger loans, and like you said, even the interest rates, lowering those interest rates is a game changer, because now your buying power, you increase your ability to spend, so or to buy things. And you know, so yeah, so I glad that you did talk about that and you mentioned that. And what I want to also ask you about, you founded Grand Slam Solutions after successfully repairing your own credit. And so I want you to kind of talk about the some of the challenges you started, because you started a credit repair business. And how did you kind of overcome some of those challenges you started? So that's kind of like that pivot that went from something that you kind of went through for yourself, started doing it for other people, turned it into a business, which is how a lot of our cycle goes. And so kind of talk about some of those early challenges and kind of how you turn those struggles into, you know, success.
So the credit repair business was some kind of like a hobby. Like, I didn't make a whole lot of money. I wasn't really out there searching for clients. It was just people close to me. And, you know, I put it a little bit on my social media, and I did help a lot of people. I think at one point, I had like over 300 something clients. So I was helping people. But it was more like, even during COVID, I could remember my wife was like, you know, I'm just hanging out, you know, just like everybody else. I remember one day I was just like, I'm bored. She's like, well, why don't you kind of put some energy into your credit repair business? And for me, it was more like a hobby. But I was able to transition, fixed my credit, and I was able to do certain things that if I didn't have the credit, it wouldn't allow me to do. Buying that first vehicle, I took a Toyota Corolla. I forget the interest rate, but it was low. No money down. Once I purchased the vehicle, put a tracker in that car, I think I started making money like the next day. Wow. And that's the power of credit, if you really want to kind of like think of it that way. Just think about it. Went to the car place, purchased a vehicle, no money down, and started making money right away. You can transition that and think about it even from a real estate standpoint. It's people buying property with no money down, put a tenant in there, and automatically start generating income. I look at this car rental business as real estate. It's real estate on wheels. These vehicles are assets to me. I don't look at them as liabilities or condos. They're like little houses to me. That's how I imagine it in my head. And they're paying rent every single day for the using the vehicle. The power of credit. I'll be honest, I haven't really tapped into. I've tapped into a little bit with business credit, but because I've been so involved in the business, I've lost sight of how powerful credit is. So the way my business is structured, people send me vehicles and I manage them. I haven't been to a car dealership in years.
Wow.
I just haven't gone to purchase a vehicle. It's been years, but I have probably close to 50 vehicles in my fleet that I manage. And that's another thing too. You have your credit that, you know, we utilize, but you also, and we leverage. That's the word I was looking for, leverage. But we also need to leverage relationships, right? So, and that's how I've been able to scale so quick. If I try to leverage my own personal credit, even business credit, it would be very difficult to scale up to 50 cars. It'd be a lot of headache, a lot of struggle. Just thinking about owning 50 cars is like, whoa. But managing 50 cars is a lot of work too, but it's a little different.
Wow. So you've kind of like kind of went from trucking to credit repair and then into the car rental industry where you are now. And so what kind of gave you that kind of resilience to kind of explore these different industries? And obviously with every business, there's a learning curve to getting into it. So kind of what were some of the biggest learning curves that you actually pulled from each one of these businesses?
That's a great question. So with credit repair, my credit repair business, I had a really good system in place, right? So I'm trying to take what I've learned from hiring the right people, having the right team, to my car rental business now. Because right now, it's me. Like, I mean, you see, like, I got someone answering my phone calls. At one point, I think I was getting like 100, 150 calls a day.
Wow.
I was the one answering the calls. I was the one washing the cars, delivering cars, repoing cars, taking cars to go get oil changes, service, whatever it was. It was all me. So now I'm transitioning to having a team. So I'm more so of a real boss, real CEO, and working on the business versus in, because I'm definitely still in the business, which is hurting me. You know, as entrepreneurs, think, you know, I'm 3 years in, you kind of can lose yourself in the mix of it all, you know, and it's something that I've dealt with, and still kind of, you know, getting out of that. You know, the trucking taught me resilience. Like, you know, I already had that, you know, from just, you know, from my upbringing and who I am and my beliefs to never give up. But the trucking was just like, damn, like, your driver doesn't want to drive the truck's all the way in Washington State, or, you know, just little things. It's like, damn, get this, I'm out. I only got out because my truck got damaged and someone wanted to purchase it probably like $7,000 more than I purchased it. So I was like, well, it's a good time to get out. So I just sold it because I didn't want to spend the money to repair it. So I would say the trucking industry taught me resilience. Credit repair, there was a lot more structure, a lot more team. So those are the things that I'm currently moving over to the car rental space. Because those who are listening, if you're running your business and you're working in your business, the struggle is real. People on the outside will look in and they'll just see, for example, for myself, they'll see the cars, and they'll think like, oh yeah, he's got it all together, he's killing it, but the struggle is very, very, very real.
So the you touched on something I want to just piggyback on as well, and it's for business owners. A lot of business owners, we're all doing all the jobs, doing everything, we're kind of working in, and it does take a while to transition from working in your business to working on it. And a big part of that struggle is really the mental part of it, which is trusting someone else to do, you know, to do it the way you would do it. And it's about giving up some of that autonomy with your business, because that's part of it. Even though you could train someone, no one could do it like you do it, but they could get pretty close. And so it's about that mental journey in order to kind of grow and scale and to be working on it. It's about giving up a little bit of that that control, and like I said, letting yourself work on that business instead of in it, because it's kind of hard to see the picture when you're in the frame, you know. So I commend any business owner. Again, myself, even for me, it's a transition when you're kind of transitioning the team, and many times, you know, almost daily, I'm saying, okay, they're not going to do it like I would do it, but you know, they're getting pretty close. They're good. I have a really good team who work with me on my projects, and so it's part, that mental part is just as important as anything else. But there's also something you said about that you seem to have gleaned something from everything that you've done, and I think that that's what makes really good business owners. There's something that you could take from your job, your childhood, your life, and we need all of those things kind of are transferable in entrepreneurship, which is a really good thing. And you seem to be really good with pivoting from these different things. So I kind of want to talk to you about, you know, even for in the car rental space, you kind of pivoted from starting off using platforms like Turo as kind of how you started off there, and then going from that to renting cars privately. So what kind of motivated you to make that kind of change, and how has that impacted your success?
The key word is relationships, and just be nice to everybody. So how that happened, I purchased a Corolla, put it on Turo, it was doing okay. I went out, I got another Porsche Macan and a GLE 43. Right off the bat, couldn't put them on Turo because there was a recall. So now I got a $700-$800 car note, and I got the Mercedes Benz had a recall. I got another $1,100 car note, right? Couldn't put them on the platform. The recall for the Porsche was about 3-4 months for the part to come in. So that was I could not rent that car out, right? The Benz took about a week and a half to get the recall situated. But the issue was, I wanted $300 a day. Turo wanted to give me like $150 a day. Like, they wanted me to really lower the price. And the algorithm, or however they have it set up, that car was not renting. So my good friend now, who then worked for Gold Star Spirion, who I use for trackers, came to do the installation and to put the tracking services on the car. We talked the whole time, talked about credit, talked about me being a police officer, and we just built a really good relationship, exchanged numbers. Later that day, he said, hey, look, I did a tracker for this guy, and he does private car rentals. I know your cars aren't moving, so I think you should give him a call. That night, I went over, I met him, and that next month, I think I did about $10,000, with my GLE, just renting it out for about $300-$350 a day. Wow. And that's when I knew I wasn't going back to work. I was already on a leave of absence, because when I started the car rental business, there's so much we can talk about, like, because, you know, you got your 9-to-5, you want to keep that for security, for benefits. But when I started car rental business, I only had one car, and at the time I was preparing for my wedding. So I was overwhelmed to the point where I was falling asleep on calls. And, you know, that's unprofessional. So,
like, literally falling asleep.
Like, I mean, cops do it all the time. But when you got someone who just got robbed, like, you know, it was an armed robbery, and he's waiting for you for 45 minutes, and you go to the call a little tired, and I look sleepy because I definitely was knocked out. that's doing an injustice to myself, to my coworkers, and to the public. So I took a leave of absence, and that was in June of 21. And that was in August, September. I mentally was like, I ain't going back to work. And in January, I officially quit.
Wow. Well, the interesting thing is that was kind of how you got started, got in here, and now you have over 25 cars, or you're near the airport. Grand Slam Rentals has really grown significantly. Or is it more than, it's probably more than 25 now at this point, but I want you to kind of go into some of the key steps that that helped you scale your business, because it's one thing to start a business, and it's a whole other thing to be able to take that business model and scale it into more and more. You said you started off with the one Corolla, and then you were able to scale it into 25, 30, 50 cars, what you have now. So kind of how did you scale, and what kind of challenges did you face along the way?
One thing I want to say before I answer that question is, you know, I also took a year to actually make the decision to get in to the car rental space, because the car rental space it's not cut and dry. There's a lot of gray areas and question marks, and I was very afraid to get in. Like, it's very risky, and it took about a year for me to actually make the decision and jump in. But I just tried my best to do good business, build good relationships, be honest, transparent. And then I think people that were coming here could see that. They read my energy, and they would send me cars. I've, till this day, haven't gone on the campaign, hey, I need cars, which I do, right? You know, it's passive income for the owners, right? The owners, they send me the vehicle. I do everything. Wash the car. Rent it out, go get it maintenance. We do it all. And then it's just passive profit sharing. You know, we send their profit to the owner, completely passive to them. So just good business. And I guess people would slowly hear about me and just send me their car. So let's say if I had one of your vehicles that I was renting out is doing good. Communication's good, the money's good, and then you just tell your friend, and your friend's like, "Well, wait, I got this S550 sitting in the garage. It's not doing nothing." He'll call me. We'll get on the phone, have a meeting, and 9 out of 10 times, I'll get a car in my fleet, and then, you know, we make money off the car.
Wow. So one of the things that for growing any business is something you kind of talked about early, which is that customer service piece, and how important that is to getting those referrals, or to really kind of not having to advertise, because your service starts to sell itself. And it sounds like that's kind of what happened for you. And what are some of the kind of unique ways that you ensured that your customers have an excellent experience in your business, and that's helped you grow and scale?
So providing the information, and just, again, just being nice, and just try to give a high level quality customer service. And that's just from, you know, the time that they call to when they walk in. You know, just we're walking them through everything, we're explaining everything, constantly communicating with the customer. One of the things that I changed in my business that has helped is the communication. So when we have clients in cars that they'll extend in the vehicle for, they'll be in the vehicle for weeks. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, before I wasn't really like contacting the customer every single day. Now every single day you're getting a text message from us, you know, thank you for your service, but you have a balance overdue. Will you be returning a vehicle? Do we need to come pick it up? So just constant communication. I think that is an education. So for example, we rent out Teslas. If someone walks in and they never rented a Tesla before, we're going to give you the A to Z on how to operate and deal with driving a Tesla. And that's a big part of it, just the education part. So we have a wide variety of cars. Some cars, even sometimes I get in a car, I forget where the start button is and like those little things. We just try to inform the customer what car they're getting into, how to do this, how to do that. If this happens, what do you do? You know, I have, roadside assistant guys that I use. If someone has a flat tire, we try to go above and beyond for all our customers.
You know what? I want to say, I'm sorry to cut you off. It's one of those things that you just kind of said something that just recently happened to me. And sometimes, I don't know, sometimes how you perceive how that feels on the other side for that customer service piece for a client. It was, I don't know what I travel a lot. So I think I was in maybe New York or somewhere like that. But I did rent I was in Baltimore. And I rented a electric vehicle. And, you know, I'm not going to say the place I rented from is one of these big places. And I got none of that. They didn't explain to me whether. So it was kind of like a weird deal because they had like an app and I could just upgrade because I was standing in the line for a long time. And then I could get a QR code and scan his app. You get in the car, but it didn't explain that it's an electric vehicle, where to go, and how to even do any of that stuff. And so, in our businesses or in a business, the customer service piece or just taking that extra time to kind of make sure somebody understands the service that you're providing goes a long way. It really does for clients. So I commend you for doing that because not everybody does that, but it's very important, and it's one of those things that lead to those good reviews or people being able to kind of do the marketing for you because you just went above and beyond. As you're going through this process, you have learned lots of lessons. You know what I mean? There's different things, and you kind of said at the top of the interview that there's things we learn and glean from all these different things, and you've gotten better through the process. And is there any specific moment that kind of stands out in your mind where the lessons you kind of learned were put to the test?
Every day. Yeah, every day I'm put to the test every single day. In my personal life, my professional life, every single day. I will say that there's just so many examples, you know, and for me, it's just I work so hard to get to where I'm at. I know once I get over the hump, you know, it's really sky's the limit. Because numbers, I'm doing pretty good. But the number one problem I have is just filling in those spots and building the right team. It's hard to find people to work with that you can trust and that it's going to go hard for you every single day or every time they show up or supposed to show up. The challenges I face every day is different. Just like when I was on the force, I never knew what I was walking into. Every day is a new day. I might going to work and it's going to be a quiet night. Next thing you know, I'm in a high speed chase. We're chasing a rape suspect going 120, 130 on 20. Or I may have a quiet night where I'm just in my cruiser on the phone all night. It's the same way here. You know, I may have four cars I have to go pick up or, you know, chasing a customer. You know, they somehow was unable to unkill switch the vehicle. They're trying to steal a car. And the list goes on and on. with car rentals. But yeah,
every day is a challenging day, and I want to also kind of talk about something that you'd mentioned earlier, early in your journey, and that's kind of like mentorship and being mentor, being open for really advice or someone to kind of come in and share some information. And I want you to talk about that. A lot of times as business owners, we really don't naturally seek mentorship on a whole. And I think that's a mistake if and when you can find someone who's willing to kind of cut your learning curve down to where they can kind of show you some of the directions or how to get through and kind of how to do it a little quicker and faster. And so talk about a little bit of the, like how some of these or a key conversation with someone who's mentoring you kind of made a breakthrough for you in your business, if that's happened.
So when I started credit repair for myself, I got to a dead end. I just couldn't get, I didn't know where to go for more information. So I joined Recession Proof. That mentorship program, I mean, it changed my mindset, changed the way that I looked at credit. It helped me build my credit up. So mentorship is very, very important. Right now I would say Pushman Mitch is someone that I look to for, you know, mentorship. I can't say right now that I'm I have a mentor, but you kind of said it, like a lot of entrepreneurs don't seek it, and I probably need it the most, but when I was hungry, I was searching for the mentors and information. Now, because I'm like in it, it's kind of hard to, even when people want to help me, it's kind of hard to receive, because it's like, hold on a minute, I gotta go get this money, right? But I'm learning to take a couple steps back and, you know, receive that mentorship that I need or seek it, because I have a lot of people asking me to mentor them, and I'm not in a space where I can say that I'm really comfortable taking on that responsibility. But I can't even say it's something that I really want to do. I don't know that yet.
Got it.
But mentorship is helped me get to where I'm at now. And it's something that I have been thinking I do need, you know, some type of high level mentorship, because I'm dealing with, there's not a lot of people, there's not a lot of private car rental businesses with a location. I used to rent cars out of my house. You know, that's how I started. You know, to this day now, I still do, you know, I'll take a car home and someone call me late, yeah, come pick it up. I still, you know, do that. So yeah, there's something I personally know that I need to seek, and I know who to reach out to, and but I just haven't. So that's a good question. I'm glad you asked that question, because that's something that has come up in discussions, and it's something I know that I can definitely benefit from.
And you know what? I definitely understand how sometimes it's just hard to just take the time out and carve it out to receive and actually to give. But it is, I do feel like it's, sometimes we get one little thing, and sometimes one thing changes everything in our business. I think you were even mentioning how kind of you got started. Sometimes one little nugget, somebody introducing to one thing, or a lot of times that's kind of how breakthroughs happen. We all are creatures of habit. We kind of do what we've always done. And if we do what we've always done, we're going to get what we've always got. So that next level is really with someone else. It's not even about, I think no matter what level you are in your business, there's always somebody who can give you something or a nugget that can just next level you. And what I've learned a lot of times, it's not some of the best nuggets are not the stuff that you didn't know, but the stuff that somebody needed to remind you of. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Sometimes those are the best things. We kind of know what to do, but until somebody else brings it up, then we bring it back to the forefront and say, you know what, I'm ready to do that now. Or so that mentorship is really good, I think, on both levels. And on the level of reaching out, and even though with all of us, we have time, I actually do a mentoring session every Wednesday at 11. And I set that time aside specifically because if I don't, I'll never get to it. But I schedule it and I honor it 85% of the time. Sometimes, you know, things happen, but 85% of the time I'm on that mentoring call where I'm mentoring this young person who's in business, who wants to get in business. And so, but what happens when you're mentoring someone, even, believe it or not, information has a boomerang effect. You know, you're giving it to them, but you're actually giving it back to yourself as well. And sometimes it brings back to the forefront some of the things that that you could be doing or should be doing. And it just becomes kind of like a wonderful thing. So I definitely suggest that for business owners is to seek a mentor and to be a mentor. It's that having that exchange really does help. So, I know for you, you've been at different levels, or you've had multiple businesses, and managing the demands of entrepreneurship is always a challenge sometimes, or it can be a challenge. And so how do you personally or manage that personal well-being, you know, while maintaining personal relationships, or kind of like the entrepreneurship while managing your personal relationships? How do you create that life balance?
So the last 3 years, I've been living in the office. Like, wake up, I'm here. Recently, I've consciously made a decision that I will no longer allow my business to run me. Like, the better off I am, the better off my business. And meaning my health, my mental health, my spirit. So those are all things right now that I've been focusing on. So I've been making sure I exercise, making sure I'm eating properly. I saw a video of myself like the first year that I was doing this. I looked so, I'm already, slim guy, but I was like real, real slim. I wasn't eating. I was just working all day. So health, my health right now is a major priority. So taking care of my health, making sure I eat, no matter what I got going on, I've stopped now and I make sure I eat. I say my prayers in the morning first thing. So make sure my spiritual well-being is good. Cause like I said earlier, it's easy to lose yourself. It's all about the business. And sometimes it has to be that way because you have to have a kind of like a insane focus. And, but what I've noticed or what I've learned is that you can have all that focus, but sometimes you're just working in circles and you're going to have the same problems over and over and over again. So you, whatever it is you want to get out of, or however, get out that circle, make sure you're taking care of yourself. The more you take care of yourself, the more you'll be able to really think and just make better decisions and overall just be happy, you know. I think a lot of entrepreneurs put up a front. Oh, I got a business, so life is good, right? But the reality is I work more now than I've ever worked in my life. I've sacrificed more than I've ever sacrificed in life. I may go on trips with my wife and she sacrificed a lot too. That's probably one of my favorite things. I love spending time with my wife. But if I'm here all the time, I'm not doing that. And then, you know, as time goes on, you tend to forget what's important. So, you know, my advice to any entrepreneur that's been dealing with the struggles that I've talked about or, you know, going through whatever, don't forget who you are, because that is important. And it's crucial because the more you do for you, taking care of your mental health, your body, your spirit, the better you will be to your business. The better you are to yourself, the better you are to your business, it's going to show in your pockets.
You know what? That is like some sage wisdom, because you said it yourself. Almost all of us are guilty of kind of either overindulging, or it's probably like two entrepreneurs. It's either the guy that's like over in it, or the person is just like hyper focused, where the person's working like a hobby, you know? So I would think either one of those are great. Now, even for myself, I know that I am like a hyper focused person, and it's one of the things that I'm working towards. And for me, fortunately, like you, I have a wife who does, you know, sometimes without that, I would never take a break. Honestly, I'm just telling you, I just would never take a break. I just have that thing that it's not work for me. It's kind of like what I love to do, what I enjoy doing more than anything else is working on business, is kind of how I'm wired. But having those balances, I mean, I have kids, and those activities kind of took me away. And, you know, my youngest daughter was in basketball. And so, you know, for 8 years, she was, you know, we're taking her to, you know, tournaments every weekend. And, you know, basketball was 10 months out of the year. So those things kind of gave me some balance and something to give you some reset, and being in some different arenas, going back to work-life balance, kind of ideas sometimes come from being in a different space. Sometimes we're in the same space all the time. We're doing the same things over and over again, and it's that reset doesn't happen that we need. So I do agree with you, the fact that it is a difficult thing, but if you focus on it, if people take some time to do it, you know, and plan for it, it's not going to happen. The time just not going to appear. You definitely got to plan for it when you're a business owner, or it just doesn't happen. And that's the interesting thing about our worlds, and that sometimes we don't think about, or when you're getting into business, you have to be more intentional than anything else. Because, you know, if you're working a 9-to-5, at 5 o'clock, your day is done. You know what I mean? You don't have to worry about if it's a job. You're not worried about all that job really until you get back at 9 a.m. But when it's a business, you know, you're thinking about it the whole time, you know? So if you don't get those breaks, it can hurt your business in a lot of ways. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think that's great advice for anyone who's kind of in business, no matter what that business is. So I want you to kind of, ask you now specifically about your industry. And so if you were talking to your younger self, or somebody who wants to get into the car rental space, what kind of advice would you give someone based on your experiences that you had?
Just do it. Just do it. But just to rewind a little bit, one more thing I just want to add to what, you know, you were just saying, is that another key opponent is be present. A lot of times when I look back, I'll go on vacation and I'm at the beach stressed out about what's going on at the office. And, you know, I don't go to no regular beaches. I travel. So I'm, you know, a place where, you know, where you're supposed to be present and really enjoy the moment, and so many different incidences where I wasn't. And it's, you know, so my advice is, you know, when you're with your kids or you're with your wife, you're on vacation, you know, do what you got to do to be present, to be in the moment, to live in the moment. Now, to answer your question, to my younger self, you know, educate yourself, find like-minded people, find people in the same businesses, get in the room. And when I say get in the room, conferences, and sometimes it's not even going to conferences. It's just, I would create my own room. When I first really got in, that's how I even came across this place, because I just would meet so many people in the car rental industry, like, hey, what are you doing on Friday? Let's just meet up, have some pizza, have a discussion. I'll know what your struggles were this week. We'll talk about my struggles, talk about his struggles, and we'll all learn something. And I kind of created like a weekly mastermind. Wow. Right? So the more I did that, the more information I got and the more people I met. And that's how these other guys, they was like, hey, I found a place. And, you know, that's how I wasn't looking for a 51 parking space, you know, a lot. I wasn't looking for it. I only have 4 cars. So conversations with people, and, you know, it's a risk. Any business, even if it's a low-risk business, it's still a risk. It's a risk that you're taking. You know, when you get into business, it's a different monster that you have to really control. So then I would tell myself to, if I could rewind and really give myself some advice, that first car that I got, I would have got a bookkeeper. I would have had someone, a backup plan for someone to clean up the cars. I would have thought that one car, I would have looked at that one car as if I had 100 cars. So when it happens, everything's already in place. You know, you're not sitting there thinking like, oh, damn, all this money's coming in. How am I handling it? Or 6 cars need to be cleaned. What are we doing about that? Okay, we went from 5 phone calls or 5 DMs to 100, 150. Who's answering those phone calls? Who's answering those phone calls? Who's answering people coming in through the door? So a lot of those questions that I would have just laid them out and just answered them and figured out, started putting things in place before the cars even came.
I want to say something that's really a powerful thing you just said, and I think when people get in the business, they almost wait for the business to tell them what to do next. You know what I mean? And I think it's very important to be able to really begin with the end in mind, kind of know where you want to go, and think of all those systems or the things you need. Hey, again, maybe you're getting 0 calls, so how do you handle 100 calls, or how do you prepare for scaling quickly? And honestly, sometimes where that may seem like not a good use of your time in the beginning, but the way you set those foundations up, or kind of it will affect the kind of systems you set up or that you create for yourself, because you're now thinking about not just one call or 10 calls or 20 calls. Now you think about, how do I handle, like you said, 50 or 100 calls, or how do I handle more cars? And so it just kind of even helps you start on a more sound, you know, ground. So, yeah, I think that's a great thing. And I hope other business owners are hearing those kinds of things and thinking about how you can, no matter where you are or what level you are in your business now, that can even still happen for any of you out there that, you know, you can always be thinking about what happens if my business 10x's all of a sudden. Sometimes you can get an ad that goes viral or something like that, and next thing you know, you can't even handle, you know, everything that happens. So
and it can get a lot. I've had, like, when I first started, I had 4 cars. She dropped off 15 cars. I think it was like 15 cars, and I didn't have any help. I wouldn't even look for help. I just handle it myself, but I put myself at risk. I put my health at risk. When I go back and look at pictures of myself and videos, it's like, damn, like, you can work yourself to death. You can stress yourself to death. These are real, real, real serious things that you have to think about. So that would be probably like the number one thing I would say, like, really, even if you have a product, you're selling whatever it is, you know, what if one day you get a phone call and they want 1,000 orders, or that 1,000, that, like you said, something goes viral and now you're on Good Morning America and you got 1,000,000 orders you got to fill, and you that's money that you could lose if you're not set up properly. And then once you get into this vicious cycle of working in the business, which I feel you should always some way, shape, or form be working in the business, right? It's your business, so you should know what's going on in your business. But when I say working in, like, you know, you don't want to be all the way in. You just want to know what's going on. I think I'm one of those people who always will be in the business, but right now I need to be more out, right? The more I get out, the more I can scale and make more money. We're all in business to make money. Took me a long time to learn that. I was just working just to work because I love to work. So it wasn't, you know, I didn't have a job. I didn't have anything. So I'm just working. You know, money's coming in. Okay, yeah, my bills are paid. I'm paying this. I'm not even paying attention to what's really happening. And, you know, that's also another conversation. You know, you got to watch your numbers. Your numbers going to tell your story. And when it's time to get out, you may want to think about getting out. Some people don't know when to get out because it's this thing of entrepreneurship. Oh, you got a business. You're making it. You're good. No, like I said, it ain't all good. It ain't all sweet. And that goes from, you know, big chains all the way down to someone, you know, barely making it that just started. You know, because I even for myself, I've watched other entrepreneurs before I became an entrepreneur, and I was like, damn, they're doing good, or that's the life I want. But then when you get in, it's like, oh, wait a minute, ugh.
So you know what the funny thing is? We're in the world of where the, I guess, influencers and things like that, and the stuff you see on social media, it gives people a false idea of what it takes to be successful sometimes. People only show the good parts. They show just really when things are happening well for them, and nobody's showing the struggle, you know. But there is always a struggle. There is something, and getting into business, you want to set that expectation so that you understand you're kind of not getting into it without the wrong idea or just thinking it's all going to be roses. Because in entrepreneurship, their setbacks are inevitable. And really kind of how you handle setbacks really is kind of going to dictate how you grow. And so speaking of that, when you've overcome so many different tough challenges at all these different turns, so kind of how, let's give some advice on how would you go, or what advice would you give to other people on facing some of these tough times or getting through some of these tough times and how to be resilient and bounce back and turn their struggles into success?
So the first thing, which is probably the hardest thing for some people, is just be honest with yourself. You got to be honest with yourself. If it's somewhere you messed up and you're having problems or whatever, just fix it. So that's really... That's my answer. You got to be honest with yourself. The more honest you are with yourself and you realize your setbacks and, you know, why you're not able to go to the next level or make more money, or maybe you suck at sales. Maybe you suck at customer service. And a lot of times people don't realize, they don't even know because they, you know, for whatever reason. But look in the mirror, be honest with yourself. And what you lack, get help. The more you hire, and you know, delegate. That's something that I'm still learning to do. Gotten way better, but the more you do that, the more you'll be able to sit back and be a true CEO. Because just because you have a business doesn't mean you're a true CEO. And there's levels, you know, someone who has 5 cars could be doing way better than someone who has 20 cars, right? Because they're just managing better. They're creating different streams of revenue with the vehicles. They go pick that up at 6 o'clock, drop it off over here. They have more peace of mind. So be honest with yourself. Once you do that, you'll be able to see clearer and make better decisions. And then you can kind of go in and whatever it is, solve it. Because at the end of the day, and I've had some big problems where it's like, okay, we got to figure this out. We got to solve it. And I say we, right? Because even though right now I only have probably like a staff of like two or three people. I'm really doing most of the work. But I say we because I had to mentally think like I already have a team. It's coming, right? You know, so slowly but surely I'm putting people in places so I can just do less work. I don't got to go pick up a car at the shop or go repo a car or do none of that stuff. I've been doing it for so long, you know, it. I don't want to say I'm close to a burnout, but I know when I need to take my foot off the pedal and just have someone else do it.
Yeah, I think it's good to know when to make those transitions or those different moves that you need to make where you're pivoting from one thing to the next or different levels. And sometimes our businesses also tell us those things or give us signs that it's time to make a change in that level or, you know, for the next level to get prepared for it. And so what I want to do actually is, you know, when I do these shows, there's a segment that I kind of do called this Pitch Perfect segment. And this is kind of where I invite listeners to submit their business ideas. So we kind of have people submitting things online. So they submit their business ideas for financial challenges and we provide on-the-spot feedback. So it's an opportunity for real-time learning where we can divide or dive into some details. And so what I want to do, actually, I have somebody who responded to this situation, and they actually have a listener, we have a listener who's an aspiring entrepreneur. They haven't gotten into the business, but they want to start a business like yours, car rental, get in there, and they're struggling with the initial investment. And so what kind of advice would you offer to someone like that?
So there's so many ways to get into car rental business. So I'm not sure if this person, what their credit score is or, you know, what their financial situation is. But one, if your credit is good, your initial investment literally could be $0. You're going in, get a vehicle, zero down, put a tracker in it, and you start renting your vehicle out. Sounds easy. Because it is that easy, right? That's just to start. I'm not saying car rental is easy, but that's just to start. If you don't have credit, you can leverage someone else's credit. Your girlfriend, your wife, your mama, your papa, your grandma, your friend, whoever. Hey, I need a car. Will you help me get a car? They get someone who will assist with that. You just leverage someone's credit. You got a vehicle. You can either rent it out yourself, pay the note, pay the insurance, or you can do a profit split, manage the vehicle for them, however you want to kind of lay that out. Then another way is you don't own anything. You just broker cars. Get with people like me. There's plenty of people on different platforms. Find out what they have available for the day. And it would go something like brokering will go something like this. You know, if I was a broker, I'm calling you, hey, Max, I know you rent vehicles out. What do you have available right now? Hey, I, have a Corvette available right now. It's the last one that's on the lot. It's the only vehicle I have left. It's available. Max, what's the wholesale rate on it? I got a customer for it. You normally probably rent it out for $500-$600. You might say, okay, $350. Let's just say $300. So you just gave me the price for $300. I'll call the customer up. Hey, customer, I have a Corvette available for $500. So now I just added $200 to your wholesale price, and I may deal with the customer directly because I know I do good business. You know I do good business. But let's just say I didn't want to do business. I send a customer to you because I trust you and I trust your quality of business and service. And I trust that you're going to pay me. I just say, hey, Max, this customer's coming to you, charging them $500. Give me the $200 per day. If the customer gets in the car for 7 days, well, that's $1,400, right? I just made $1,400 off of one phone call. That's brokering a car. So if you were to do that pretty much with 4 or 5 cars a day, that's some good money, right? So there's that. You know, those are the kind of different ways to get into to car rental with, you know, if, whether you have good credit or not. If you're not, if you don't, you don't need a lot of money to get in. And you could also find people who have cars that are, you'd be surprised. People have vehicles that aren't doing nothing. They're just sitting. They're not using their vehicles. So if you find those people and you just, hey, listen, I rent cars out. I'm looking to rent cars or whatever. You get their vehicle. You do good business. You'll make money.
So what you're saying is there's a lot of different ways to get in. Even if you don't have money, if cash is an issue, credit's an issue, that really shouldn't be a barrier. And I think I think a lot of people do, I guess, more focus on the problem of getting into business as opposed to the solution. And that is something that, that, like I said, some people get can't see, like I said, it's a forest for the trees kind of situation. And so I tell people all the time who kind of have problems or focus overly on the problem that a problem generally can't exist without a solution. So if you kind of attack every problem that way, kind of focusing that it has a solution, then it's kind of makes it a little bit easier to kind of go at that situation. So listen, I wanted to say this has been like really, really informative, a lot of really, really good information. And I want you to kind of share with our audience, for you specifically, if someone wanted to kind of refer clients to you or do business with you, who would be your ideal target audience?
So when I think of audience, I have two sets, right? One would be people I get the vehicles from. So ideally, I want someone who wants to send me a car. Right, who understands that car rental is a high-risk business. Things will happen. So someone who's just, you know, understandable. And, I mean, at the end of the day, we're in it to make money, and we're going to make money. On the other side, I want a customer who is going to treat that this vehicle as if it is theirs and that they have common sense. They're going to pay on time. They're going to return a vehicle with a gas where it's at. They're going to return the vehicle cleaned. And, you know, I deal with a wide variety of clients, from the business owners to the customer. Business owners, I have business owners that are multimillionaires. I have business owners that... I should say partners, right, that just have a regular day-to-day job. I have partners that don't work at all who rely on the income from the vehicle to support their lifestyle. On the other side, with the customers, I have customers who travel. I have customers who need a vehicle for Uber. I have customers who, I mean, we're in Atlanta, so I deal with drug dealers, scammers, you know, entrepreneurs. You know, I have such a wide range of vehicles that I deal with pretty much everybody. So I hope I answered the question.
Yeah, you kind of gave us a good range, or so people have a good range of who your client is, or who what they could send to you, or what kind of opportunities you're looking for. And so, actually, to wrap up here, Alex, let me ask you, what's kind of one piece of advice or motivational thought you'd like to leave listeners with as it pertains to really turning their struggles into success?
Three words: never give up. It's easy to give up, and time will go by, and you'll look back, and like some of us will wish, oh, I wish I never gave up. But stay in the race, never give up. It's a marathon. It's not going to happen overnight. Even when it does happen, you know, stay in the middle. That's kind of how I look at life. That's why I like golfing so much. If you have a swing and it looks great. At that moment, you feel like you just, like life is perfect. But that next swing is not going to be perfect.
Yeah.
So no matter where you're at, you have to stay grounded and stay in the middle. Life will bring you up here. Stay humble. Life will crush you. Remember the small blessings that you have in life, and just kind of stay grounded and stay in the middle. So just never give up. And like you said, there's a solution to every problem. Sometimes you may not know that solution, but if you keep working and trying to figure out, it'll come to you.
So reflecting on your journey specifically, what's kind of like the single most important decision you've made that that pretty much has set you on the path to success? What would you say is kind of like, is there any single most decision, important decision you made?
What I just said, I never gave up. I just kept going. Every day is another struggle. Every week is another struggle. Every month is another struggle. Whether it's the bills, whether it's the money not coming in, whether it's the rain that's causing some type of storm, there's some storm and a branch done gotten away, whatever it is, I just never gave up. I just stayed focused and just worked and worked and worked every single day. To the point time would go by and it's like I don't even really know what's going on in the world. Like I'm so dedicated, so focused. And I've repeated over and over and over again, just never give up and seek help. If you need it, seek it. I know for me now, I'm putting people in places where it's like, I'm not doing it by myself. So when I do 10X, and sometimes we're not thinking about 10Xing. We're thinking about getting out the mud,
yeah.
Right? But while you're getting out the mud, you can easily 10X. You can make things better while you're getting out that mud. So, and I'm taking my own advice these days, too. That's another thing. Like, we'll give energy out. You can have the same problem with someone, and you won't take your own advice. And that's, someone will come to you with the same problem. You'll give that person the best advice ever, and you won't even hear yourself. I've done it before. So now I take my own advice. And that's why I'm at where I'm at now. I'm getting healthier. My mind is, it's just where it needs to be. You know, entrepreneurship will bankrupt you. It'll put you in depression, divorce. There's a lot of different things that isn't talked about, right? No, you go to social media, you ain't going to hear none of that. Like, oh, I had a $50,000 a month. I had a 70. That sounds great. But I might have had a $50,000 a month, but you don't know how much I took home, how much expenses I had, if I even made money. So my advice is just never give up. Keep pushing. And sky's really the limit. And you have to believe in yourself and know that you're capable of solving the problem. Sometimes you are the solution, you just don't know it.
And so, you know, piggybacking on that, or just even taking, I end this on a really a powerful note. We're at the end of the show, and I want to say, yes, all those things are true, that entrepreneurship is difficult and hard, and staying through or never giving up, I think, is great advice, because a lot of times that breakthrough is right around the corner, you know. And so that's the one thing I do want to leave people with, is that, you know, the reason why you don't give up is because 9 times out of 10, that breakthrough is right around the corner. If you think about it, you're driving around, you're lost. The moment you stop and ask for directions, 9 times out of 10, that person's saying, hey, it's the next turn. You know what I mean? By the time you actually stop and get help, you're so close to the turn. You're about to give up and you get frustrated, so you finally ask, and they're just saying, hey, next turn. So I want to leave people with the fact that, hey, don't give up, because a lot of times your breakthrough is right around the corner, and success is really rewarded to those people who have that perseverance. So Well, Alex, you know, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today. And so for our listeners who want to learn more about your journey or how to get in touch with Grand Slam Rentals, where can they find you online?
You can find me on Facebook, Alex Grandois, Instagram, AG4YOU, and Grand Slam Car _rental is the business page. And then, yeah, that's how you can find me. If you need a car rental, you could call us at 770-762-1376. We offer a wide variety of vehicles, from economy to high-end luxury. So, example, we offer like a Toyota Corolla all the way up to, we don't have a Rolls Royce Cullinan anymore, but we do have a Lamborghini Urus, G-Wagons, Corvettes. We have everything. So if you just need a car to go to work or you need a car to stunt, just DM us or call us.
Awesome, awesome. So listen, thanks for sharing all of your insights and advice. And for all of you tuning in, if you want to keep up with me, Max Fortune, and stay connected with Mind Your Business podcast, you can find me on all social media platforms at Mind Your Biz, B-I-Z, Expert. Again, that's Mind Your Biz Expert, as well as on YouTube and all the major podcast platforms. So be sure to subscribe, follow, and keep the conversations going. Also, keep in mind, we'd love to hear from you. So submit your business ideas, questions, even topic for our Pitch Perfect segment by reaching out on social media. Engage with the community, and let's continue to build together. So until next time, stay sharp, stay focused, and always mind your business. See you in the next episode.